right. Welcome to XRC Pod, guys. We are here in VR in Moonbeam. And welcome to the last episode of this season. And guys, I can't believe we made it through. We actually lasted an entire season with actually great content, amazing guests, and we didn't kill each other. This is amazing.
It's amazing.
It went by really fast, you know, 20 plus episodes. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and first I just want to say it's been an amazing journey. Kirby, Nirav, and then Steven appropriately lurking in the background, actually, behind that wall behind you. Very much similar as he does to our episodes, right? He's always in the background doing things. And now he's trying to serve us virtual coffee, which is weird. But it's very Steven at the same time. But yes, this has been quite the journey. I know when we had originally started, the goal was we wanted to share both in terms of what we've seen, what we've known, but as well as our network with a larger XR community, those insights, and really kind of going a little bit deeper in an angle that's not just about, hey, XR is cool, but we're, at the end of the day, we do this day in and day out. And so we just wanted to get to the point around what are the core themes, the core questions that we deal with every day as practitioners, professionals in XR, and how can we bring those insights back and really start a dialogue?
Yeah, I was just going to say that it's kind of a unique and maybe challenging, especially at the beginning for us till we kind of found our place, having three of us as the co-hosts. And but we do bring different perspectives, which kind of makes this podcast, I think, unique.
Yeah, I appreciate both of your insights from a very different perspective. But I mean, the fact that we've covered such a broad variety of topics from the early episodes talking about eye tracking, which was a very technical in the weeds topic, to even the leadership series where we're going, around what it takes to start a startup in the VR space, particularly with a global pandemic going on. I really appreciated both of your insights on that. And I would say I learned as much as I hope our audience did.
Def, back at you guys. I think that's kind of your interesting point, Kirby, about like having three co-hosts on a show, it can be kind of pretty challenging, but all very different experiences, different perspectives. And I kind of like how different episodes will, they'll kind of be balanced differently between us as speakers and as hosts. So it's been a lot of fun in learning. The leadership series too was that was cool because I felt like it gave us bounds, right? We were trying to just kind of be in a very specific place with a theme that kind of lasted a few episodes, and that was also really fun. And I think we've kind of talked about that a little bit in terms of what are some of the other ways we can kind of be more thematic, right? In terms of some mm-hmm. of these topics that we can bring.
Yeah, absolutely. Having a short season that's focused on a particular topic, I think that's something we're all eager to try as we go forward with the podcast.
Yeah, something well, more let's like give everyone.
Oh, go ahead.
Let's go ahead and give everyone a preview of what they're going to get next year. So we're thinking about having the thematic seasons, probably 8 episodes each, correct? Mm-hmm. And we'll cover a different topic on each of those seasons.
Yeah, and that's a great way to kind of segue. Like, I mean, even for you, as you listen to these episodes, it's great to kind of have every week is something a little bit different, but sometimes we're also planning around what are we going to learn this season, this course, almost like this semester, and what do we want to get out of it? So at the end of end of the season, end of the semester, you're like, this was my hypothesis going in as a professional in this space, as an enthusiast in this space. And throughout the season, I learned these things and coming to a conclusion. And I think we want to kind of start it off that way, having a hypothesis, especially with our different perspectives around a topic or subject matter area, and then going through with experts' perspectives, and at the end, landing on that POV. How are we better after that? And some of the things that we'd love to talk about, there are many great options and things. And for us as hosts, and we're asking really our audience, what would you like to listen to? What are some of your major considerations? Like, oftentimes we talk about this. our goal is what you hear on Thursday when we publish episodes impacts the decisions you make on Monday. So as if you took it, if you look at it from that standpoint, what are some of the big decisions you need to make? And I think, Nirav, you had a pretty good suggestion for the first season or for, yeah, for so the we're first talking episodical about, season.
Yeah, so we're thinking about the future of work and looking at, you know, starting out the new year, just looking at trying to be our best to be a futurist and look at what's going to happen 5 to 10 years out, but also look at the variety of ways in which both the lessons we learned through the pandemic and the technology that's now becoming available is going to change, you know, the largest chunk of our waking hours in the day.
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah, and yeah, I think balance too, right? We want to look at the future of work really in this next year. It's so easy to talk about things 5 years out because you're going to be pretty accurate because you're not necessarily landing on, but how does this next year-ish evolve? Kirby, you're going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, just along those lines too, it's, for me, I like to think even maybe at the bigger picture, like, why do we work? And how will technology change the reason why we work? Hopefully in a positive way.
I love that,
way.
Kirby. Yeah, and I think that's why I love your perspective so much in this, right? That's a great question. And I think this is where we're at with VR, and as an enthusiast, why I think these topics are so great, because you're not beholden to this kind of bounds of what VR needs to be today or even tomorrow. Let's start to ask the bigger questions. This platform is still, the technology is still being developed. It's still in a place where all of us can really make it to where we want to make it. So we can start to really, you know, ask some of the main questions.
You know, and to go off your analogy of the college courses, you could kind of think of our 22 episodes that we went through as a survey course. We haven't covered at a high level a lot of the industry. This gives us an opportunity to get in a little bit more detail in terms of, you know, both the technical weeds, but also the direct use cases. It should be fun. Not that we didn't talk about future work in the prior episodes.
Yeah, I think episodically going through each of the different topic areas, starting off with a hypothesis and having a conclusion, and this is one I feel like we can probably talk about at the beginning of every year. So as we get into each year, we can really talk about what we've learned and what do we think in terms of the most practical applications of VR or NXR, right? AR and VR can be with the future of work.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you mentioned comparing it to like a college course. I think for me, I maybe look at it more like a Coursera course or something shorter, might be on Udacity. And maybe the whole collection of the seasons becomes like a college course. But, you know, really hoping that we get some good feedback and participation from the listeners. And that's something to look forward to. We're going to, you know, redesign our website. And we're going to get you guys much more involved.
For sure. And yes, the plus one on that, we definitely want more of your feedback. This is really a show for you. We're going to try and hang out anyways, but in terms of the podcast, we just want to make sure that it's really helping you. And feel free to ask the hard questions. That's what makes this fun, answering that makes us better XR professionals, especially as we move from kind of more of a enthusiast, evangelize the platform to really being more hands, heads down, and hands-on actually building what the future of XR is really going to be about. All really great things for next episode. Love to get more feedback on what's next. What do you want future work to be for you? But also, guys, like, just curious, like, this journey, what were some of the things that you were surprised to learn about this podcast, this journey of the podcast, that you didn't think about, you know, when we first started?
So I would say I overlooked, and Amy Peck's conversation was really eye-opening for me. I think we tend to overlook the amount of connectivity across different technology sets that's critical to VR's future, or XR's future path. And she really, I think, brought it together really well. It's an episode that I've gone back and listened to a few more times. just to kind of learn from her with him.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that I found very interesting and motivating was thinking about how the technology, after a few more evolutions, where it's going to be for medicine and, you know, surgeries, and how that's going to improve lives for everyone worldwide. Sometimes, you know, we get focused on what's possible today, but I really love looking out into the future. The second thing that I really enjoyed was talking with Alex Rule about 360 video, and just having her remind us to, you know, once in a while go to a new person that's never experienced VR or XR, and giving them the opportunity to try it out and learn from how they experienced it, but also give us energy back to keep us moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool. It was cool talking to Alex because it was such a perspective, at least for me personally. It took me back to who I was when VR started to now, and the appreciation for 360, which if you had asked me 6 years ago, I'd be like, well, no, that's never going to be a thing for me personally, and to learn that. And I think it's wonderful. Amy Peck's episode is definitely a great one if you're just new to XR and even new to this podcast. I just loved how she started to ask the question of the whys. Why do we do what we do? And kind of a really great overview. And it's a great example, too, I think, of what I've learned is these conversations, depending on your guests, can go in a way that's also magical and fun. Like, we kind of started off that episode originally with the intent of a checklist for companies that either want to get into enterprise, or you're in enterprise and how do you navigate the ecosystem. But I think we touched on something a little bit more profound, and just more, just something that you can actually use over and over again, to your point, when you listen to it. It's much more than a checklist. It's almost like a framework of how to think about XR. Yeah, which is a lot of fun. And medical, we've talked about medical a few times. And I know we want to talk about that more next year, dive, you know, almost into a mini series, if you will, into those specifics. And that's what I loved about this, the learning. I think it's a product person in me. I'm constantly thinking about scale. I'm thinking about XR technologies that can scale. I'm thinking about how to scale the podcast. I'm always thinking about that. Sometimes you forget to just take a step back and just enjoy the moment. And that was a unexpected thing that happened, in that, we typically record on Sundays when we can. And so, not a very religious person, but I would say it was almost like going to church in a very positive way, right? We left super energized, and a lot of our guests would message us later. It was like they're hyped after recording the podcast. And I feel the same way. It's truly wonderful to get perspectives. Aardvark, Alex's episode on 360, Kirby, like, you know, you bring this other perspective in that's exciting, that's just different. And I think bouncing those stuff off, and then we'll go down these deep Professor Nirov subjects and, you know, kind of walk away. I'm like, yeah, this is why I connected with Nirov years ago. It's because we were in a meeting with our respective organizations at the time. And at the end of the meeting, Nirov's like, hey, by the way, here's what I'm thinking about XR in this way. And I was like, dang, I gotta meet this guy. And so that was a lot of fun. So many great learnings, still so much to learn. And so that's what I look forward to the next season, and kind of having more of that bounds of a theme. But I do want to talk about what are some of our favorite episodes. And to do that, let's take advantage of this beautiful space that the Moonbeam team has created. And let's maybe get seated someplace a little bit more comfortable. So
yeah, welcome, guys. Do you guys want to join me in the beanbags?
Sure. I don't even know how to answer that question.
Or should we take this outside?
All right. Well, welcome to this space. Definitely a lot more comfortable. Nirov, so where are we at right now?
So we're in Moonbeam's design thinking room. So in the platform, and for those listening in audio, this video is actually going to be uploaded on YouTube as well. So you'll be able to see, this is the first interaction where Vinay and Kirby and I are actually in VR together, recording a podcast in VR. And we're doing it in the Moonbeam default room, which we've broken out into a few different spaces, a post-it note design thinking board, whiteboarding room, a boardroom, and here we're in more of the collaboration space where, you know, free thought, open room, just a place to hang out and think through some ideas.
And I just want to say, it's funny because, like, technically I'm still in the same seat I was when we were in the more upright, but the environment makes such a big difference. Like, I feel way more relaxed and chilled out in the beanbag environment. Like, yeah, not something that's obvious, right? Especially when you watch it, like, on a YouTube, you know, where you're not actually doing it yourself. Like, this does feel like I'm in a different environment. Yeah, so I guess now that we're all chilled out, kind of hanging out, what was your guys' favorite episode this season, in season one?
So favorite's tough because we had a lot of good episodes. We had a lot of good guests. I would say the one that made me think the most, as I mentioned earlier, was Amy Pex. That said, I also really enjoyed going back to some of the earlier episodes. We had a great conversation with Dirk Chow at Tactile about enterprise integration of VR apps. Elizabeth Scallon always has great insight, and I've learned so much from her throughout my career. It's great to have her on. Kirby, actually, like, the Aardvark guys, having them in there, it really helped me think through cross application, I guess, applets or widgets in a different Gadgets. Way. And yeah. I found that very helpful. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm letting you guys know my age by saying term applet.
Java. As if your avatar didn't already give it away.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, like you said, Nerve, there's so many that made me think and kind of expand my base of understanding. I was surprised with our talk on BCI, how far that's come, and the price point for sort of prosumer enthusiast level hardware that can be purchased today and experimented with. I guess another thing that was really interesting along the lines of hardware was haptics. And again, just thinking about making these experiences even more lifelike, even more immersive. So it's something, you know, to look forward to in the coming years.
Oh yeah, for sure. All great episodes. We learned so much. I think I got to give a shout out to our first episode, with Johan Boven of Tobii. Especially we tried a little different format, right? There's so much to cover in that one. And, you know, you meet these people that live and breathe this stuff, but also have to explain it to partners and customers. I feel like thematically, all my favorite episodes are ones where, you know, you meet somebody who's not only building this technology or helping to build this technology, but also has to explain it and kind of bridge that gap. But the person, I think when I say so thematically, those are my favorite, but the one that just shocked me and I changed me as a person, I think, was Joel Ward's accessibility.
Yeah.
Man, the way he talked about how you think about this, it not only does apply to XR, it applies to everything. And if you listen to that episode, I think just being a good person, we influence so much. It's a great one to listen to. And then look up Joel. the work that Joel does on the side is tremendous. And that's what I love about the early adopter XR leaders. You have to take a risk, and it takes a very certain type of person to have that passion. And I felt like all of our guests really encompassed that. So I feel like it's hard to pick, right, which one is your favorite, but you have these moments, and we've all kind of rattled off a handful of them, and you enjoy all of them. And I think that was kind of the intent. So I definitely appreciate that.
And on Joel, I mean, high props to what he's doing with XR Access and what XR Access is doing as a whole. We have an opportunity here to get this industry off on the right foot that's inclusive and designing for all abilities. And it's important that we do that. I mean, it is a part of the motivation for Moonbeam was to enable people to work remotely of all ability. Those who can't travel should still be able to engage in meaningful offsites. And what Joel's doing, what the XR Access community is doing around building, not just thinking about accessibility as an afterthought, or how do we comply with 508 regulation, Section 508 regulation, but really how do we use that to propel experiences that work for everyone is really commendable and important.
Totally. Yeah, definitely. There's so many favorites. And I think we would also want to talk about which ones that were, you know, surprised us a little bit, right, in terms of insights in those conversations. But I think to do that, let's head over to another space. What do you guys think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Nirav, lead the way. All right, welcome back. All right, Nirav, so where we're at now?
So we're not at the boardroom. This is kind of what we call our pitch meeting session room. You know, it's a great place where you can have your boring PowerPoint presentation-based meetings, but also record action items and really make that productive, regardless of where you are.
It's awesome. I love the dual screen. So for those of you that are listening and cannot see the back behind what's this camera angle, a really great large screen that can be used as a whiteboard. And behind Nirav is another whiteboard screen, which from where we sit, we can actually scroll and draw notes. And so just kind of feels very, kind of have everything in your fingertips. And I like the large table. It does kind of ground you into this space.
Interesting feature is when you enter the meeting, you actually get thrown right into a seat so you can get going immediately.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We in a previous episode, we talked about onboarding tutorials, and I think establishing that is great, especially if you're new to VR. Sometimes being in a very familiar space, like this feels like a room almost that I've been in, right? The very common, large kind of table with kind of the AV mat in the middle makes a lot of sense. It's kind of very familiar, so that's pretty awesome.
So when you get assigned a seat, is there's no like power play either, right? So, you know, in traditional...
Right now it's random. Yeah, right now it's fully random.
Okay.
Yeah. And we also intentionally made this table such that there's not really a head. There's not a single chair at the front. Yeah. With that in mind.
Cool. Yeah, notice that. That's pretty cool. Nicely done. So excited to continue this conversation here. We talked about our favorite episodes, which is almost all of them pretty much, but for different reasons. And of course, some of them stand out for more kind of that visceral, personal reasons. But there's some that we kind of were surprised we learned what we learned, especially being in the space. And again, that's kind of what we wanted to really do by finding good topics and even better guests. What are some of the episodes that you felt, or anyone that kind of sticks out that was kind of surprising for you in terms of recording it or maybe going back and listening to it?
So I was really surprised that Stephanie Lamas' episode, that you guys were able to do it without me. I mean, it was amazing. And it was still entertaining without the Springsteen references.
Maybe that's why that should have been my favorite. There was a couple where we snuck in Noah Springsteen. I think that was going to be the ones I really liked.
No, but in all seriousness, Kirby, I think the episode that you brought, both Aardvark and Alex Rule, amongst the ones you brought, but really, I think brought a really interesting perspective. I like Alex's kind of filmmaking approach to VR, the industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as the technology's improved, you can do a lot more with it than when I first, and Vinay, you talked about this, but when I first got into XR 360 video, it made me think about using that technology in different ways. And then with Aardvark, I mentioned that earlier, with Forrest and, that was,
yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Forrest and Joe. Again, it's that middle layer that's needed, that it provides consistency across all VR experiences. And I love that they're working on that.
Right. Yeah. And it's another indicator of the maturity of the space, of the technology, mm-hmm. that we're getting to the point where we can have these, through Aardvark, the idea is to bring in gadgets that are familiar and can be shared with others, no matter what application you're running. It's very cool, very exciting.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Kirby? What episodes kind of surprised you in terms of what you learned?
Yeah, so I mean, the gadget episode was great, of course, with Joe and Forrest from Pluto. Just showing that, again, the maturity level of where we're at and how folks can get involved. And by the way, anybody can get involved with that because it's a web-based technology, which is kind of interesting. But I think, you know, talking about education and VR and how some of those applications we saw on bringing simulations and real experiences to students is very much like, you know, military traditionally would do, say with a flight simulator or commercial pilots with a flight simulator. You do that because you can immediately reset an experience. You can try it over and over. You can get feedback from the instructor. And what we saw there was examples of folks working in conservation and ecology and getting that experience of being out in a forest in this particular case and learning how to take a census, how to count different animals in that area. Mm-hmm. And that for me was really enlightening because it's putting us down this path that's more experiential for teaching, no matter what grade level. And getting away from just having, you know, standardized testing. So something really to look forward to.
I just want to plus up that, Kirby. I think I've heard a number of companies talk about VR and climate change. And I never really, it always rung a little hollow with me because I didn't really see the connection. David did a good job of really bringing that together in a education perspective that made me see that there's a there. I mean, they're like, it's amazing use case that he had in mind.
Yeah, that's ditto on that, actually. Like, I felt the same way. Like, you hear about climate change, VR, kind of makes sense, but how is it actually driving any behavioral change? And we change behaviors by a couple of ways, but one of it is by having a deeper sense of understanding, and that perspective is really great. David's episode was awesome. For me, these insights, there's a few episodes I didn't get a chance to participate in as a host, and I love listening to them just as a listener. And all those, actually, the Aardvark, David's episodes are really good ones. There's one that I, so it was, when I listened to it again, it always kind of surprised me. That's with Gabe Jones. I've got a chance to work with Gabe for a few years, and he's one of those rarely rare, bright individuals who can figure out a lot of things. And you kind of think that he's been in those kind of disciplines, like fundraising, for example, for a long time. He's a very compassionate and passionate leader. I really enjoy that episode a lot because I feel like and I think it's what kind of inspired us to do the leadership series, is that you have to sometimes, when you think about the technologies and what we build, at the end of the day, it's our organizations. It's our team members that really get us there. And Gabe's episode really helped to kind of put that into perspective of how do leaders think about the opportunity, about priorities. At the same time, he's fundraising during the pandemic and was successful doing that. He was successful expanding his office and still a very humble person. And it's a very interesting kind of space. And as I think about that episode, I also think about these kind of layouts where it's like, you know, how would that episode have evolved if we sat in beanbag chairs, for example, and had a chance to give the visual cues, because that's one of the hard things to do in a podcast, right? Even though when we record, there's a camera, we can see each other, the visual cues around that make sense. I love kind of, you know, the various emojis we can kind of use here. It really kind of adds that spirit of engagement with your audience as well. So yep. I think that was a pretty fun one. You mentioned Stephanie Yamas. I love what Super Data does, getting that, especially towards the end of the year perspective. Because, you know, you read things, they make sense. But having an expert who's actually responsible for publishing that report and being able to ask the questions that you can't in a chat thread or especially when you don't have access to folks like that. That was a great example of there's some amazing people in this space. And with XRC Pod, we want to give you, the listener and the viewer, access to those professionals. So yeah, all awesome examples. I think the last question that I really have as we kind of wrap some of this stuff up is, if we could go back, some of these episodes were so great. And then you're like, well, I have either more questions or you learned something that you knew that you weren't thinking about. What would that be? You know, what episode could you go back, if you could go back to one and either ask additional questions or take the conversation down a different route? So
you know what?
We do let's, that.
Let's take this one outside.
You mean like? You mean like?
Right.
Yeah. Let's step outside and get some air and continue the conversation.
Oh, okay. You mean this, not this.
They were step slightly outside. Fighting words, man. Let's take it outside, man.
Wow. What a view. I'm. this is cool. Where are we? It looks like we're like in, I don't know. Portugal or something?
Yeah, we're over Lisbon, old town. And
I see the flag.
Yep. Beautiful city. I thought it'd be a great place to for us to gather.
This is awesome backdrop, man. I love it. Great place to ask the question. If we could go back to any episode and either re-ask questions or take it to another direction, which ones would those be? I know we covered a lot. So if you could go back, what would you do?
So I thought we had a really good conversation with Nandini and Trond on hackathons. And, you know, it'd be great to sit down with a glass of port with them and talk a little bit more. I think that conversation could have gone on a lot longer.
That was fun.
We're encountering some tough times right now with the lockdown and the future of hackathons. I mean, and that really is what built the dev community in the VR space. So it'd be good to see kind of 6 months later, what are their thoughts around, and as we have the vaccine being rolled out, can we start gathering again? And are they thinking about hackathons? So where are we going to take this?
That's a great point, especially when you think about the power of hackathons, which is solving a problem in a short amount of time with a community. And now, you know, even though we're sitting on the West Coast of the U.S., we're in Lisbon at the same time, perspective.
West Coast,
you know, looking out. Yeah. You know, we're perspective. And I think hackathons is going to continue to be very important. And looking, especially as vaccines start rolling out, we're going to have some new challenges too. How can we use the community to solve for those community challenges? That'll be a wonderful way to take a look at that again and maybe even meet in Moonbeam with some other folks from different parts of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually with that, we should check back because at the very end of the episode, we cheekily said, hey, we should have a hackathon in VR. And for those that don't know, the Seattle VR community is very active and has had some really large successful hackathons in the past where folks would travel from far away just to join those events. So it would be kind of interesting to
they've had attendees from Europe. They've had attendees from all deep in Canada come out for it. I mean, it's a great amount.
Yes, awesome. Kind of picking back on community building, scenario planning. One of the ones I'd love to go back and actually even expand on further is the wargaming episode. Kind of a tongue-in-cheek phrase that we had, you know, wargaming, what is it good for? And funny reference in that because oftentimes when we think about military planning, wargaming, you think of a very kind of a small subsect maybe for the Department of Defense or those kind of areas, but it's really this, right? It is multi-scenario planning. And that perspective, understanding conceptually that this methodology is out there and the way to bring it to those that need it the most is through VR. It's such an interesting one. I kind of wish more we would talk about it more and actually more or examples of platforms that people can use or scenarios, almost like here's how you can start wargaming this weekend if you needed to, or scenario planning, right, was a fun one. And thank you so much for, Nira, for really driving that in terms of your experience and your insights.
know, and that area has come a long way even since we spoke, and it would be good to revisit. I'd probably put a call out to my old friends at Booz Allen to be part of that episode, because they're doing some pretty interesting work in that space.
Hmm. Oh, I'm sure we'd love that. Yeah, and if you'd love to hear more on that and what that would look like, please let us know.
Yeah, no, I'm curious too. Like, you know, you mentioned pandemic with hackathon, talking about hackathons. It would be really interesting to see how wargaming was probably used, maybe used during this vaccination time, right? Going through scenarios, how are we going to distribute the vaccination? How do we make sure if X happens, what do we do next, kind of thing?
Yeah.
Sure.
To get like a really global, practical application.
Yeah. What about you, Kirby? Which ones could you go revisit and ask some additional questions? Or
so when we had when we talked to Genius Ventures, Nav and Mariah, the thing that was really interesting there was they had planned a whole conference in VR, and it was very ambitious. It wasn't just like a 2-hour event. It was 3 days. And it was bringing in speakers, dozens of speakers who had never even experienced VR to be speakers in that event. So I'd really like to go back and, you know, find out how that went, lessons learned from it, and, you know, what's next. Being able to get some actual quantitative results there on attention spans and how people, the number of connections they made compared to if it was in person, that's something I'm quite interested in, because I do think that people are going to travel a lot less even once it opens up. You know, Bill Gates has predicted it's only going to be business travel is going to be down to like 50% of what it was. Mm-hmm. And I think it might even be lower than that, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think you know, certain segments, right, well, are going to be impacted differently. But please, Nerf.
No, we talked to them just before the event, and probably 2-3 weeks before the event. And, you know, I know they got 50 different speakers in at the conference, all in VR. Mm-hmm. What was interesting to me was in the networking event after one of the panels. You know, when you're at a conference and, you know, you're part of one conversation and it veers off in another direction and you're not really as engaged, but there's another interesting conversation going on to your left that you kind of blend into. That's kind of the heart of networking. And what was interesting was that at the VR and HR conference happy hours, I saw that starting to happen. And mm-hmm. It was such a welcome resumption of normality that it was, you know, good to experience. And mm-hmm. you know, as these platforms improve, I'd love to see more of that taking place.
Yeah, it's just natural. They didn't have to teach anyone how to do that. The other thing that, because I attended that event, it was a great experience. I was really impressed. Was it, you know, if you're at an unconference, the saying is you vote with your feet. So if you're in a session and you're not really into it, you just get up and leave and go to another session. But in, you know, typical conference, it's often hard to do depending where you're seated, of course. You don't want to disrupt the whole event, the whole talk. But when you're in VR, that's pretty simple to do. So it opens up new possibilities.
Yeah, you can also kind of throw one of these up too when you, and then peace out, right? Real quick. Yeah. I do find that super helpful, right? Like as a frequent speaker, I love looking at the audience. And during the pandemic, I've done a handful of keynotes in front of my screen. And especially mm-hmm. When you're doing keynotes to thousands of people, I don't see my audience. And it's very difficult to gauge, especially as you can either speed up through topics, go deeper into topics, all depending on, you know, just the head nods, right? It goes a long way. And so, yeah, it is difficult to adapt. But in a virtual environment like this, it is, even if you get a small subset, if only a small subset in a headset, but most are watching either on, you know, on their laptops or mobile devices, I can still get a good gauge of actually what's actually working, which is super helpful. Almost a recurring theme, I feel like, where we want to almost revisit some of these topics. We'll have to figure out a good way to kind of work that in, still keep it fresh, and maybe add some additional insights to that. For me, into the Wargaming episode, I loved Joe Michael's leadership mindset episode. That was so much fun. Joe, one, is a very interesting individual, and I think a lot of our speakers are, but what he has to kind of build in the XR space, like the problems he's trying to solve for, a hardware ecosystem XR play and fundraising and still investing in R&D, right? He made a great point. Mm-hmm. The reason they were able to kind of be successful now especially is because even while they were busy trying to create a business model and make money or at least drive some sort of consistent revenue stream, an area that people cut back on is an R&D, especially when you're talking about hardware, super expensive, very few things pan out, but they didn't. Right. They continued to invest in the vision, and they had all these opportunities to kind of turn things on. And so big shout out to Joe, but not just for that episode and for what he brings to the XR community, but also just for, I think he's like one of our biggest fans on the episode, on the show. Mm-hmm. So appreciate kind of the continuous feedback there.
Yeah.
Anything else we missed, guys, before we wrap up?
No, I'm looking forward to next year, man. It's been great. I have to say it's been great having brunch with you every Sunday morning as we record these episodes.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Thank you guys so much. What an amazing season. Steven, also thanks for making it happen in the background on the ones and twos with producing it and making the show come to life. And then really thanks to you guys, our audience and the listeners and viewers. Your questions, what you get out of it, how it inspires you, really drives us to try to build and bring the most valuable content. So until next time, it's a celebration. Thank you so much. Yeah. And here's to our next season of XRC Pod, season number 2. Stay tuned, and thank you so much for listening and watching.
And in the words of Southside Johnny and the Ashbury Jukes, we're having a party.
I'm going to vote with my feet now. Peace.